A beacon shining in the night, sometimes obscured by a shadow, reinforced by a wall of ice, always protected by a podcast overlord.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Oh, hello, Arrow Squad. This is The Flash.
And this is Cammy.
Welcome, everybody, to Season 5, Episode 18, titled Disbanded.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Man, what a bit of a depressing downer kind of episode to start off with, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. To start off with and sort of, like, end off with, because after this episode, the show doesn't come back for like a month.
Oh man, yeah, that is crazy. Well, we've got a few news things like that, so why don't we just jump right into some of our news items?
Yeah.
We interrupt this podcast for a special report.
Sorry to throw that on top of you. We're going to start where?
No. We will start with our special report alert. So just wanted to catch everybody up. We mentioned last week that Felicity would be on Legends of Tomorrow this week. And she was. It was quite a short little cameo, but it was very cute. It was a chase sequence. She was a hero. She was the last remaining hero protecting Star City. And she got beat up by Sarah and Vixen in some alternate universes. It was very alternate universe-y, but very cute. What did you think?
She had an awful, horrible leg break of some kind, it looked like, when she jumped off the roof there. Wow, that looked painful. Yeah, it was neat to see her. Yeah, like you couldn't even really recognize her until they unmasked her and took her hood down. Mm-hmm. And even then, you're looking at her going, is that Emily Bett? Holy cow, like, what a switch. But it was fun. It was fun to have her on there. I just really... Man, blinked and you would have missed it. It was very short.
Yeah. It was very short. I would love to see that sort of look for her return in some other alternate universe, whatever. Because it kind of almost looked goth Felicity inspired. You know, she had the black hair and purple stuff everywhere. It was very cute.
Yeah, it was.
We have another news report. You want to take this one?
Well, you did mention real quickly about us being gone for a month. So, yeah, we need to let everyone know that all shows, Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl, are all gone for a month. It's only Legends that returns next week, and that's because it finales itself out next week. Yep. So that means 1 month off, and that's probably going to be for us too, unless we come up with something we want to do in that time off. I don't know, Cammy, we'll see. But just want to make sure everyone knows, don't freak out when you're wondering where Arrow is next week.
Yes, we will still be alive and present. It's just, there will not be an episode.
But one other little thing, which I think a lot of people saw, because, man, there's been some very 50-50 reactions to it. But Katie Cassidy has been announced to be coming back to Arrow. And they're saying full-time as a regular, but we all know that that could mean a lot of things. But she's supposed to be back, at least as a character next season, and most likely as Black Siren.
Right.
So, you know, I just want to throw my feelings on that, because I liked Katie Cassidy. I mean, there were some times in the earlier seasons where I didn't like her story arc, but what I really liked about Laurel Lance on the show was the connection and the history with her and Oliver. That, to me, was very emotional stuff, because they do have a long history together. Now, even though she's coming back as Black Siren, we know the last time we saw her, Oliver still had this undying feeling that he has to somehow save her and bring her to the good side. So I'm hoping we see a bit of that kind of connection again. I don't know. Not sure what's going to go, but I tell you, the one thing that I'm worried about it is I don't want us to lose Dinah, because she comes back. If they swing Katie, or I should say Black Siren, to the good side, yada, 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 that better not mean, because we can't have two screechers on the team. Like, Dinah better be a full-time member next year. I'm going to be one upset Flash.
I completely agree. I think I'm... My main concern here is I think the, like, died, but there's, like, an evil twin that came back is just a bit too soap opera-ish for me. And then the whole, like, Laurel and Oliver thing was too. So I'm not on for that particular ride. However, I will say, as you mentioned, you know, supposedly she was also regular status across all four shows this season, and we saw her like once or twice. So I would be hesitant to, you know, this doesn't mean she'll actually be back full time. So I think Dinah's safe. Don't worry.
Well, I hope so, because she, if you look at the credits, even on tonight's episode, it still said special guest or special appearance by the actress, so she hasn't gotten a regular credit yet, so hopefully that changes
next season. Not this season, but I believe she has signed on for next season, if you're referring to Juliana, who plays yes. Dinah.
Yeah,
she's
Juliana Harkavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'll be around. I wouldn't worry too much about the Black Siren thing.
You know for sure she's signed on? Is that?
I saw that going around by fairly reputable sites, I think, but... I can't quote a name, so this is just speculation at this point until I pull up a link.
It's enough for me. I'm happy.
But yeah, we've had villains like Merlin and stuff return. As Merlin is supposedly a regular this season, and we saw him on like the Flash musical episode. So
yes, I
wouldn't worry too hard. We will all be okay. Any other updates for us?
Yeah, just one last little thing I want to bring up. Now, I know the last time this was mentioned, there maybe was a little bit of controversy about it. I just want to say that since me and Cammy have taken over the show, we've also taken over the Patreon page. And as you know, that's a site where if you choose to go, you can choose to donate and support the show. We have changed it up. We've changed a lot of things on there, and we're looking to do a little bit more with it, showing appreciation for our supporters that are on there.
And we have a video on there, like with our actual faces, don't we?
Not quite yet. That's what I was about to say. There, by the time this show is live and you're listening to it, there should be a special message in there that we put in there just for our supporters. I just got to finish editing it. So yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to highlight that we're not expecting anyone to save the show with money or anything like that. That's what me and Cammy did by coming on board and taking over the show was kind of saving it from being pulled off air. So we just want to show our appreciation for any donations that are in there already, because it basically just helps cover the operating costs and stuff. So that's all I wanted to say about that. Let's get into our show of Arrow this week.
Time to rate things.
Yeah.
Flash.
Do you want me to go first?
I think you should go first this week. Gentleman first this time.
Well, wow, you're in a good mood tonight there, Miss Villainous.
Well, we'll see how long it holds.
Okay. I better get going then. All right. I give this episode 8.5 loyalty points. Now, last week was a hard episode to follow. It was a hard episode to follow no matter what you do. So I'm totally not going to knock this week's episode for anything, because I think it's just too hard to follow an intense hour like last week was. And in reality, after something like that, you'd usually have a bit of a downer, a bit of a recuperation period, which I think is what this episode kind of was. And I still really liked it. I love that it continued right from the moment that we left off, like seconds after last week's ending. I just think that's fantastic continuity. And then, you know, we're seeing Oliver more broken than we've ever seen him. And Felicity even says, I've never seen him so broken, and I've been through a lot with him. And it just really came across that way this time, with Oliver really believing he is to blame. It had me believing his performance all the way through. His acting has just gone up a notch this season, for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought it was a strong choice to start right after last one ended, because I think last one did end with a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And so not skipping any time really kind of helped up the urgency while also starting to answer questions right away and not skipping any emotional beats. 'Cause last episode had built it up so much. So I thought that was really cool. My rating for this was a 7.5 out of 10, which is a little bit down from last week. And that's mostly because I do think that there was a lot of cinematic emphasis on last week, and they kind of backed off that a bit this week. And that's the main reason for it to drop. And also because this episode really did feel like a setup for more. It's not that I disliked it. It's just, it felt like we've seen this sort of environment before. Oliver wants to quit. Oliver is broken, but it was very well done this time. It's not really a complaint. And I'm enjoying a few storylines that were shown in this episode on a bit of a contingency basis. Like, I like where the Helix thing is going if it is done well. I like Prometheus as a villain if he's taken down in a way that's sort of worthy of who they've built him up to be. So it's a pretty strong 7.5, but I'm kind of like withholding a bit and waiting to see where they go with this big setup.
Yeah, I can kind of see how you see that being a bit of a setup episode, but that, like I said, following last week, there's no way you could continue that.
Right, you know,
setup, like I call it, you know, we kind of have to recover a bit from it. So yeah, but
yeah.
No, I mean, even still, 7.5 is still pretty high for you usually. So
that is, yeah. I had a pretty low spell there for a while where it really did feel like, it wasn't so much that I didn't enjoy a lot of the storylines on screen. It just felt like a lot of the storylines getting the most screen time were the ones I was least interested in. So it felt like there was quite a disconnect between what I wanted to see and sort of, there was a lot of romance there for a while that I wasn't really digging. And so having that kind of go away and having it get back into the core characters I like, which mm-hmm. you commented on last week, that has really sort of upped the general scale of where my ratings will probably fall.
Right, right. Well, and there, I got something I want to say a little bit later, too, when you just said court characters. I got a little something about that.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into our favorite moments. This is our one kind of little section we'd like to do.
Yeah. I like this section. It always starts everything on such a high note.
Yeah.
Take it away. Give us your high note.
Now that I've decided we're going to add in some clips to kind of highlight our highlights, I think it really, really kicks off the episode with some fun. So this week, man, there's two that stuck out with me, and I can't decide on one. They're just both too powerful for me to choose. So I'm going to start with one, and then we'll break it up with yours in the middle, and then I'll close it out after. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me. It's a
deal. All right. So my first one is the scenes with Oliver and Diggle, especially the one in Diggle's apartment when Oliver shows up. This mm-hmm. was absolutely heart-tugging to watch. I mean, seeing Diggle not back down and stand up for their brother-like friendship, it's that's a loyalty of the highest degree, and something that really hits home for me, because I value loyalty in my life and in my friendships and relationships with people above all else. Loyalty is just huge to me. So when I see something like that portrayed on screen, when someone has your back like that, it's powerful stuff. And that really, really got to me. I mean, I want a friend like Diggle, because it was just fantastic. And then, I mean, at the beginning of the scene, he took a full punch from Oliver, like not a light little jab. It was a full right cross or right hook, and he just shook it off. Any street thug that would have taken him down and out for sure.
And Oliver winced after that, if I remember.
Yeah, he was kind of shaking his hand like, ooh, that hurt.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, just this whole scene, not only the loyalty and what Diggle was doing, but it's just his, what I termed Digglesdom. His wisdom. I mean, in all the other scenes where it was him and Oliver, there wasn't so much in this particular apartment scene, but in the other clips with him, just the full of wisdom that he has for Oliver. I love it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So
I totally love those moments as well.
Well, I've got one of them for you here. Let's see if we can feel the emotion that I'm trying to convey.
We're not done, Oliver. You and me, we're never going to be done. Do you understand that? Listen, man, you can tell me that you're a serial killer, that you're crazy, or you're whatever Chase has shoved into your head, but I'm not believing any of that, even if you do. And that's because I know the kind of man you are, Oliver. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I know. And you don't need to punish yourself or isolate yourself. But what you need to do is stop pushing me away. Because I'm not going anywhere, Oliver. Do you get that?
What do you want me to do, John? I've told you what I am, who I am. And even if you don't believe it, I do. I do.
See what I mean?
I do.
I do. It's powerful stuff. And there's just so much history built up between these two, because it's been him and Diggle from the beginning, before anybody else became on the team. So the chemistry that these two have and the way that they can face each other and bring out those performances. I mean, Diggle was fiercely loyal, and Oliver, the look in his eyes was, I just want to give up and quit, and I can't believe that you're not letting me, and you're somehow making me see that I can't. And it's, yeah, it just blew me away. Just blew me away. Loved it.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Swinging over to my favorite moment, though, will be quite a whiplash from that, though. It is not quite as heartwarming.
All right. Well, what, we can't expect anything less from the villainess, can we?
In classic pro-villain fashion, my favorite moment was actually Prometheus casually driving off into the sunset after killing Bratva members. So my rationale for this...
I'm just going to play it in the background while you're talking.
Oh, go for it. The pacing of this is really interesting. It falls right after kind of a great part of the episode where Team Arrow has sort of found their high again. They've come back together tentatively, and it's good in an odd way to see that our villain is still going strong too, because it bodes well for a strong face-off in the end. And I also appreciated, as you're hearing now, the uncharacteristic music, because it's not usual for Arrow to use music in a non-romantic scene. It sort of throws us off. It disorients us as viewers to hear music with lyrics specifically, is what I'm referencing. Mm-hmm. And that's like messing with our heads. It's the type of villain that they want to be. It's not just I liked it.
Yeah. Well, I like your point about it being very Joker-like, because that, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know a lot about Prometheus, the character from the comic books, but if he swings along in that sense, I mean, it doesn't matter. The Joker's probably the greatest villain of all time. So even if they try to play off of him a little bit to show this guy that he is a little bit psychotic and a little bit, you know, kind of he's lost his marbles. Yeah, it's great. And I totally agree with you that scene really, really kind of highlights that. But I mean, you look at the scene right before that when he took those two security guards down. I mean, the one guy was kind of down and out with a pen in his eye, and Chase just grabs it and just starts, like something you'd see out of a Friday the 13th horror movie, just starts slashing and stabbing him with this pen. It was brutal.
You know, that's the second time now for Prometheus that we've specifically seen sort of horror movie-esque vibes. So when he had Oliver in his care and he had the kill or be killed thing with Evelyn, that's also a bit of a trope that we do see in horror movies. So I'm wondering if that's something they're trying to use for him, in addition to perhaps a bit of a Joker vibe, sort of a horror slasher film.
Villain. Totally.
All right, bring us back around to the heartwarming moments with your second.
We got to totally sandwich you with some good feels. All right, for my second point, favorite scene was when Oliver was asking for help from the team to help him believe Diggle instead of Chase about who he is. That scene I thought was awesome. As much as I've loved the various incarnations of the team we've had over the years, somehow this one scene really stuck out as feeling like this team, this one right here with our new canary and even Wild Dog, and Diggle, I felt like they're more serious about being his support system, his friends, his backbone, unwilling to give up on him, that they're there till the end. It felt so solid and so cohesive. And as I said, even with Wild Dog Renee right there, it just, that, I got a feeling from this group right there in that room that that's his team. This is his team looking forward into the future now. I've never felt such a sense of loyalty and strength. Do you know what I'm feeling? Do you get what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I think the team, you know, they have added a lot of new people this season. Mm-hmm. But in the last couple episodes, as you've said, there has been that return to the core characters and, you know, finally sort of they're sort of showing the core characters the respect or the storylines that I would say that they deserve to work with now. And then, you know, with as we've said, no offense to any previous canaries, but we may possibly feel this is the best canary we've had so far. And, you know, I think they really are trying to take the response to the different newbies and sort of elevate them based on that. Wild Dog now is not the same Wild Dog we met initially.
There's something about him right now, especially in this episode. Like, he just feels like he belongs, and it's like he's matured and he's grown up, and he's, I don't know if having the job at the office with Lance has helped that along.
I think it's just better writing.
Yeah. And yeah, better writing for him too. But it seems like having Dinah in there she seems to be the glue that put everything together and is holding it, you know. And I know I'm a little biased because I love her so much, but I just feel like since she's joined the team in such a short span of time, she feels like she's been there a long time and has built this very solid foundation with the team and this relationship. Like, she doesn't feel like she's very new, even though we haven't seen a lot of her yet.
The role does not feel new. I don't necessarily know that I feel I know this incarnation of Dinah very well. She hasn't really got much of a personal story or anything. There's really no time for it, so that's understandable. Mm-hmm. But the role doesn't feel new. It does feel like this is perhaps if this is a role that needs to be filled for this team, which I know was a question at the time, do we need another canary? This would be our, you know, fourth one, not even counting the villain versions, right? But if we... or however many, Sarah's had a couple versions, so it could even be more than that. Do we need another one on Team Arrow? I'm not sure I can answer that question as yes, as to whether we needed another one, but of the ones we've had, this is the best one so far. Mm-hmm. I think this one fits the Arrow vibe closest in that she is not some sort of like dramatic temptress in like woven leather and lace collars who's like there to be a sex symbol. You know, she's beautiful, but she's not being portrayed as like somebody Oliver's lusting after or something. You know what I mean? Like, she's that's why it was very important to me that she's not a romantic interest or anything like that. And she's also kind of, you know, she's not like all up in this sort of like fantasy superheroine suit. You know, she wears kind of everyday clothes, which fits that sort of like gritty street fighting Arrow vibe.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
I'm not here to be like, yes, Canary was a role that had to be filled over and over because this is Oliver's Green Arrow story. He has existed in the comics without the various incarnations of Canary. You know, I'm not here to say that, but she is the best one so far and she fits the Arrow vibe best. Yes, it was kind of cute to see them all talking about, well, who's the Felicity and who's the Diggle and who's the on the one hand I was like, none of you are, stop that. But it was very cute to hear them talk about that.
It was. Well, in talking about this, my second favorite scene, I got a little clip from it, and we'll just solidify everything we just said.
Yeah,
the Broadfoot aren't backing down.
Things have to stop them. John has convinced me not to do it alone.
I wanted to shut all of this down because I was afraid.
I was afraid that asking you to kill Chase would corrupt you more than I already have. To me, the brothel was the best option, but John insists that as a team, we can find another way to bring Chase to justice. You've put your faith in me, and I'm putting my faith in you now. Because once we handle the brothel, I need your help to prove that John is right and Chase is wrong.
Should be easy considering Prometheus is all the way wrong, Hoss.
I think what Renee is trying to say is that it's not all on your shoulders. We're here for you, Oliver.
Okay. Suit up.
Oh my God. See, it's that music at the end. It is so heroic. It is. That just sent a chill up my spine again because it's so heroic sounding. That's what gave me that solidifying feeling that this is the team we have been needing all this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to see the team come back together after Oliver tries to disband it again. So that was a nice moment. As I said, like it's cool to see the villain is strong and the hero is strong. That bodes well for a good face off in the end. Mm-hmm. Flash, do you want to hear what other Arrow Squad members picked as their favorite moment this
week?
Yeah,
you kind of posed this question on the Twitter account, didn't you?
Yeah,
it's cool.
Over on the Twitterverse, I asked you all what your favorite moment was, and we got some great responses. First one we got was from Stormy, who said favorite moments were Felicity in the field, Diggle's solo talks with Oliver and Felicity were great, and OTA is the core of this show. Also, yay, Susan is gone. Michael Ford comments, Adrian Chase killing all the FBI agents and making his escape, or us finding out he has camera blurring tech. I'm always here for the cool tech stuff.
Yes, of course.
Dolly Ramble says, so many Felicity out in the field, Quiggle with parallels to Anatoly. Quiggle is short for Oliver Queen and Diggle. And Adrian being psycho, Oliver's pain, bringing me pain, she says. So those were Dolly's favorites. The last one here, whose name is listed as Smoke Fan Forever, that's so relatable, says Felicity in the field, Oliver's pain, Oliver and Diggle talk, Adrian being psycho, team newbies being adorable and cool, all of it, to be honest. That's such a good comment. So we see some continuing threads throughout there, a lot of common favorites you all have. That was really cool to hear from you,
and in agreement with my two as well.
Yeah.
Way to go, Aero Squad.
There you go.
Cool,
good choices.
Well, we had, while we're on that note, we got again another a wonderful post feedback from Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did she have to say this time?
This was feedback from last week's episode with some speculation about this week's episode. She says, I'm glad costumed Felicity is going to be on Legends, but she goes on to comment that Felicity is still a hero without a mask, and that's important to show on a superhero series as well. Mm-hmm. As for the Flash musical, where we did see some of our Arrow characters, she said the musical was okay. The ending kind of killed it a little bit because of how the couples kind of all got back together literally right after they just broke up. But I suppose that's what we have to deal with in this superhero world. Comics are low-key sometimes.
Well, if she listens to Central City Underground, she would have heard my feelings on that for sure.
Yeah.
As I sent in my feedback. So I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah, it was very cute. She said it was a fun filler episode, and the Super Friends thing was a cute moment as well. Mm-hmm. Getting back to some speculation, though, or questions, she says, it was a great point last week by Green Butterfly. How did they explain the mayor missing? And they kind of talked about that a little bit this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says that the stuff with Evelyn was great. The mental stuff Adrian pulled with Felicity's glasses was good. And goes on to argue that there could have possibly been some dead space moments in last week's episode, but I think they do pick up speed this week, so it's okay. So, always love to hear from Erin.
Yeah, and right at the beginning, actually, I just want to say thank you, Erin, because she had given me props on my choice of sound effects for that I'm adding into the show. So I'm glad you're enjoying
it. I'm loving sound effects.
All right, well, let's dive into this episode. Where are we going to go to first?
I think we should start with the not disbanded Team Arrow, the somewhat disbanded Team Arrow.
They refuse to be disbanded Team Arrow.
Team Arrow goes rogue. So my question for you is, we got to see pretty much all of Team Arrow rise to a bit of a leadership challenge in the absence of Oliver. Were there any standout performers here? And like we talked about before, what did you think of the little bit where they were trying to determine who is the new Oliver, Diggle, and Felicity?
It was just funny. It was just a funny scene that they're all... It's just showing the team gelling and being comfortable with each other and hanging out and just able to rub each other and whatever and no harm done. It was like some of our squad members said, it was just very cute to see them like that. So I totally enjoyed it. I don't know if there was a standout performer here. I think they all had very equal time. And I mean, okay, if we include Diggle, then Diggle was definitely the standout. But the rest of the team together were very, very equal. And I mean, Curtis had some fun moments on his own, and you know, Dinah's just kicking butt and being cool as ever. And you know, and I didn't mind Renee at all in this episode. There was a cool scene. I think probably his best moment was when they're breaking into that factory that the Bratva are trying to get the drugs from. And Dinah's in there first, and the guy kind of takes her by surprise, and he's got her up against the wall and punches her in the gut a couple times. She kind of goes down, and it looks like she might be in trouble, but Wild Dog shoots the guy through the glass and then comes swinging in himself and takes the guy out. That was a really cool scene for him.
Oh, for sure.
And then he had that little bomb of some kind, because there's another guy taking shots at him. He threw some type of... I didn't even see it because he threw it so quick, but it was obviously some small explosive, and it set the guy flying. So yeah, very, very cool scene.
Yeah, I'm liking the whole developing tech in the field. It's a nice way to make it sort of like fantasy and, you know, above regular world expectations of what a street fight would look like while still keeping it a street fight.
Still keeping it grounded. And not super power based as much.
You know what I loved, which is such, it's just an aesthetic thing, but I loved seeing them all in ski masks out in the field.
Really?
Yeah, that was so cool. And I don't mind the superhero masks, you know, that's fine. But the whole ski mask aesthetic, that's so Arrow, you know, to be able to send real people, real trained people out in the field who can take someone down and they don't have a superhero mask. They got a ski mask. I thought it was cool. later in the episode, we also saw Curtis and Felicity break into Cord Industries. And that was cool, too, because we don't see them often in the field these days. And that was kind of exciting to see them in an undercover mission where they're not, you know, out to beat somebody up, but they're still out in the field all dressed in black.
Yeah. And can I just say, being the Felicity fan that I am, she looks so good with her hair down. I wish she would wear it down more often, because wow, that really, really changes her appearance. And I mean, she looks good all the time, but man, when she wears it down, it's just like yowza.
Yeah, I know they're really going for the, you know, like tech girl aesthetic with the ponytail and the glasses, but it is nice to get reminded once in a while that, like, wow, she looks really good and like head to toe fitted black with her hair down. That's not a bad look for her.
Not a bad look at all.
Yeah, Team Arrow looked good out in the field this week. Just in general, they seemed pretty strong. They seemed to, you know, because they had to work together so well, they seemed to rise to that challenge, even in the absence of Oliver's leadership. And that was really nice to see. I like that they let sort of the newbies and all kind of work together, and then they had the oldies, both Oliver or both Diggle and Felicity sort of had their own side missions that they had to do with this. So Diggle mm-hmm. had a lot. He was trying to bring Oliver back in. And for Felicity, they definitely showed her giving him space in that moment and sort of not getting between them. And she went on her own thing with Helix. And that's the whole reason they had the proof on Prometheus. So that was, it was a really well structured mission, I guess, overall in the episode. It would have been a bit too much to see both Diggle and Felicity spending the whole episode trying to bring him back. They had their moment where both of them were talking to him, but then it made sense that, you know, Felicity is sort of the type where it's like, you know, this, you know, you take this one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go actually complete the mission. It was cool.
Yeah. Well, I actually liked the action scenes on this episode. I thought, I mean, they were really, really well choreographed, but it kind of felt like old times. Like, some, you know, every season we'd have a couple of those flashy episodes that would open with just massive, brutal fight sequences. And there, you know, there's like 12, 15 guys on screen. It's this huge, huge fight scene with the camera revolving around them. I mean, it felt like those kind of fight sequences. Everything was just really, really well done with some good old fashioned beatdowns happening. And I really liked that. And then you get, Curtis's T-spheres in there. They were so cool. I love that move when Curtis, you know, tackles Chase and then gets beat down by him. And when Chase spun around and wasn't looking, he tossed that T-sphere and zipped up his back, grabbed the eye device, and came out. It was such a cool little fun scene.
Yeah, it was.
And then later on, you see Curtis communicating with it, and this very R2-D2-esque kind of communicate. It was so cute. I mean, you can't go wrong with an R2-D2 type reference at all. And it just shows that these little, it just shows Curtis's balls are getting smarter.
Yeah. And it would be cool to see in maybe upcoming seasons if he does develop a sort of responsive robotic ball character similar to what we saw in the, what was it, BB-8 or whatever, mm-hmm. the latest. Yeah. Star Wars installment.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to see the balls talking or like having a voice or anything like that. But it, like I said, I think it was really cute and really neat how it did communicate with them, and I think that'll be really cool if they continue. I just like that they're, what's the word? They're becoming more sophisticated. Yeah. You know, they're getting smart. So it was really cool. Yeah, I was quite happy with all of these scenes this week for sure.
Yeah. So let's get into why Team Arrow had to go rogue, which is that Oliver left them all, disbanded everybody, and is now working with Anatoly. What did you think of that?
Well, first off, I had only seen Anatoly in the flashback, so there's that moment in the Arrow cave where Oliver's talking to somebody, but the mm-hmm. pillar is hiding them. Who did you think that was behind the pillar? Were you trying to scramble your mind? Oh my God, who is it? Or did you know right away, it's going to be Anatoly?
I was trying. I thought it was either going to be Anatoly or it was going to be Merlin, because we have seen him bring in Merlin and sort of do the whole make a deal with the devil thing and collaborate with him in the past. So that's sort of one place my mind went. Also, again, kind of one of the things we mentioned at the top of this episode, Barrowman is supposedly a regular this season. We just don't ever see him. We saw him for like a second in the flashbacks.
I think he's a regular for the entire four show thing is what he got signed to. So yeah, that's right. Why we don't see him all the time. He's been more on Legends than anything.
Right.
But yeah, that was my first thought, is it might be him. And
yeah.
Yeah. And then
I thought Merlin or Anatoly.
Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool to see him there. Like, there he is. And it made me think for a moment, okay, is that the end of the flashbacks then? Now they've come full circle? And no, that can't be. It can't be. We haven't gotten an ending to the flashbacks yet.
Yeah. They have to drop Oliver off at the island first.
Yeah, I just meant like the end with Anatoly and the Bratva. So,
okay.
But no, I think, man, that the deal that he's making with them, it's a dark, dark path for Oliver to take. And I don't think it's one he can turn back from if he goes too far down it. So I was, and again, I think this has a lot to do with where Prometheus has led him and to believing he is this guy from a while, from, you know, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Oliver's like, yep, yeah, that's me. And this is the only way I can deal with it. So I don't know. I mean, getting back into bed with the Bratva in his own city, definitely not a good plan for him.
Yeah, it's a bit, you know, we kind of, as audience, we know that that's counterintuitive because that's only going to bring down fire and brimstone on his city when the Bratva inevitably is angered and, you know, comes back to harm him. You know, we know. Mm-hmm. So it's similar to, you know, which is sort of our next point, the same thing with Felicity versus Helix. We're sort of like, we know eventually Helix is going to end up being bad guys, but, you know, we have to watch it play out anyway.
Well, I'll ask you about that in a little bit.
Yeah. So one of the questions I had with the Oliver and Anatoly thing is, you know, this, I can see where this fits in the theoretical storyline of Oliver sort of figuring out his identity as a hero. But where do you think this will go in a concrete storyline in terms of like leading up to a finale and a final face off?
Huh. You know,
my thoughts as well.
Yeah. Well, I think Anatoly just seems to really understand Oliver in ways that he refused to see himself at this mm-hmm. point. And I don't know. I feel like the Bratva will be there in the end to help out, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Anatoly is done with Oliver in Star City. I was worried. Yeah. About him becoming an enemy, but you know, right. by Oliver turning him away, that now Anatoly's going to become an enemy. And I'm wondering if this is what sets Anatoly on the path to becoming, you know, as we all know, he's supposed to be KGB. So is Oliver betraying him and the Bratva and his brotherhood with him? Is that's what's going to send him on his own dark path to becoming yet another bad guy, someone that we'll see in a season or two.
Right.
That's what I'm wondering. But what I really liked about this contrast between the two of them is it seemed like they were at odds with each other, but yet both of them had to quote unquote become what they had to become to survive and deal with things. We've heard Oliver for 5 seasons. In order to save my city, I had to become something else. And right. Anatoly in this episode said, I had to become something else to survive, to keep the Bratva alive.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting that they parallel each other in their own way.
Yeah. It is interesting to see that because I think as it comes, not to the end of Oliver's journey, but to the end of that 5-year arc of how he became what he became. It's interesting to contrast that to other, you know, heroes or not so heroes paths and see what choices they made. Why is Oliver different? Why does he have so many similarities to some villains, but he's not a villain? You know, we've commented in the past on his similarities to Talia and how she's just, you know, trying to avenge her father and respect his legacy. And Oliver's theoretically doing the same, or, you know, was at the beginning of season 1. So I think that's going to be sort of the final question there, is what is separating him from a villain? What actually makes him a hero?
Right.
I don't know. I was reading up this week on, you know, sort of a contrast between some of the things Team Arrow has chosen to do and some of the things villains have chosen to do, both in this series or another series. Like, Oliver's used the office of mayor to cover up, you know, illegal activities or, you know, killing people and things like that. And yet we seem to understand that they are heroes based on some ideal. And I think that that's what the storyline will come down to, is sort of being able to define that and frame that in a certain way. And obviously, as we mentioned before, it does parallel a lot of what's going on with Felicity working with Helix. But I want to skip past that for now and go to the flashbacks, because there were a lot of interesting things going on in the flashbacks to parallel and or inform what was going on with Oliver and Anatoly present day.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the flashbacks? Did you have a favorite moment there? You kind of brought them up a little bit already.
Yeah, well, since we're on that point, I thought it was nice to see how much Anatoly wanted him to stay there and be his partner, be his brother. it just at that point in time, it really, really showed how strong a friendship they have built. Maybe not on the level of Oliver and Diggle, but still, in their own way, a very strong bond. And I liked it. I mean, Anatoly was totally like, I don't want to let you go. Like, stay with me. I need you. It was good stuff. I really liked that. And I think it's based on that is why we see at the end of this episode why they couldn't shoot each other. There is that friendship. Oliver did plead with him, you know, like, I can't believe that everything we've been together, that you would do this to me, kind of thing. So I think that there's going to always be that bit of a spark between them that they did go through a lot together, and there's a friendship there. So that's what I liked.
I agree. It was interesting as well to see that sort of vibe match with what we were also seeing with Oliver and Diggle. And it kind of made me hope, like, don't let them go down a tragic route where they're actually trying to harm each other or anything. So it was nice to see Oliver and Diggle's issues resolved as well. So a lot of that butting heads going on in this episode.
Yeah.
We commented already a little bit on how we know the flashbacks, of course, are going to end with Oliver in some way being deposited back on the island. And we can sort of see that the whole Bratva storyline is coming to a close as well. So is there anything you'd like to see happen in the last few episodes before we are finally properly left with season one Oliver?
It is getting close to that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. What I'm wondering about flashbacks, I'm already skipping ahead to next season. I'm wondering if next season's flashbacks will be, because we know Oliver is going to return to the island by the end of this season. So does that mean for next season, our flashbacks will come full circle to his last bit of time on the island?
No, next season there won't be any flashbacks.
You don't think so?
No, they've confirmed that already.
Oh, so maybe we'll get a little bit of it this season then. I don't know.
This season will end with him being pulled off of the island.
Okay.
Like, and brought back to Star City.
Well, I didn't know that. See.
Yeah.
But we were wondering.
I know there's a lot that needs to happen before then, right?
Yeah, and we've got five or six episodes to go. So yeah, there's plenty of time for that. But what I did like, though, I had kind of an aha moment, was because we've been wondering all this time how or why he was back on the island, and we got that answer. I mean, he actually just said, "I'm deciding to go back because it's going to be his cover for where he's been all this time." So I mean, I like that they came back to that and gave us that bit of an answer. So. Yeah, I don't know. I guess if that's what's happening, then that's what I want to see. I would love to see it tie back to him getting to that. I would love to see a little bit of island life, as it were.
Yeah, I'm looking at the next four episodes. So there's four more episodes. So we've got titled Dangerous Liaisons is the next episode. Then Underneath, then Honor Thy Fathers, then Missing is the last episode. So I think that's indicating the fact that he's finally, you know, found.
Interesting. I'm surprised they let show titles free to the public.
It's weird
already,
because they've been tweeting the scripts with like the show titles blocked out, but they're already on like series guide and everything. So who knows?
Well, in IMDb, stuff's always given away. That's why I don't like looking too deep into those things. Who Prometheus was listed on there long before they ever
told us. It was listed incorrectly first, and then it was listed correctly.
Let's see. Yeah.
It was kind of a little switcheroo.
So. Yeah. All right. Well, did you want to jump back to a bit of Felicity? You want to talk a bit about her and Felix?
That was our sort of B storyline for this week, and we got to see more of Team Arrow involved. So Curtis got to join in. What did you think of that, having more people in the Helix Lair?
Well, this is where I think you and me still differ in our feelings, is I'm not comfortable with this Helix stuff. I'm not comfortable with how they know so much.
They're definitely bad guys.
And I don't know their history, what their story is in the comics. I feel like they're bad guys. I feel like they're screwing Felicity over somehow. But I
think they want to. I'm not sure that they will, but I definitely think they'll be revealed to be villains. I do know their history in the comics.
Okay.
I can tell you that because it is not spoilery.
Right. Yeah, if you will. I don't know. It makes me just, like, I'm uncomfortable, but I think also part of that discomfort is I don't like how Felicity behaves because of her involvement with Helix. Like, she seems so, I don't know if aloof is the right word, but when she's around the team, she doesn't seem like she's entirely there. She's very...
disoriented?
Yeah, disoriented. Disoriented, disrespectful, almost... like she's got,
I definitely don't see disrespectful.
Well, and just that, like, she just, it seems like she always has something better to do than to be with them and help them out. She's always, her mind is always wandering to Helix and, oh, I can go to Helix and what. It's hard for me to put words to the feeling I'm getting. It just she seems very distracted. Maybe that's a better word. She's distracted and not really being the friend and teammate that she usually is because of Helix. So it's making me not comfortable with her and with that and with Helix, because they know too much.
They do know quite a lot. I mean, to be fair, they would know quite a lot whether they were working with Felicity or not, based on what we're told about them. But they do, and I'm sure they'll be villains and or are villains, right? And in the comics, Helix is villainous. It's not the same organization we're seeing here on screen, but it is villainous. So it would be quite a twist if they are not villainous. I would expect them to be. It's true that Felicity isn't with the rest of the team, but she is doing more than the rest of the team. Like, she is actually getting things done. She is actually, you know, accomplishing what they needed to take down Prometheus. I wouldn't discredit her on that. She's not off, you know, doing irrelevant things. She's working on the same mission they are. It's just she and Curtis have a different set of skills. She can't, you know, go out in the field with the rest of them. She has to do the behind the scenes techie stuff, but I still think that that's important, and what she's doing is certainly important. She's the whole reason they got out of it this week. So,
yeah, but wasn't it odd?
I mean, I miss her with the rest of Team Arrow, though. Yeah,
when Curtis was in there with her, and they just revealed, oh yeah, you're Mr. Terrific, and like they know everything.
Yeah,
and Felicity and Curtis were just like, or Curtis was like, what, you know? And Felicity just waved them off. Don't worry about it right now. Well, I think you kind of should. And that's what I mean. It bugs me that she is quite often defending Helix right now to the team, where I think she should still be a lot more, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like,
cautious?
Cautious. Yeah. Cautious is a good word. Something along those lines. Yeah. She should not be so open and willing to. Yeah.
I think it's really same as, you know, when we see Oliver now working with Anatoly on an incredibly sketchy deal, or, you know, Oliver has brought in Merlin in the past. Oliver has collaborated with Ra's al Ghul in the past. I mean, you know, no matter how sketchy Helix may be, and I do like to think of them as this, like, big, powerful organization, I'm not going to claim that they are as big or as evil as, like, Ra's al Ghul in the League of Assassins.
No, but so Oliver is a different person, and I do not put Felicity in this. Felicity, to me, has always been a little too innocent, too wonderful, too. Even though she had the dark hacker past, it's hard for me to see her going back to that, I guess.
She's been one who's told Oliver, you know, you had, like, when he had to kill to get Thea back, she's been one to say, like, you have to kill him. You have to, you know, she's made some pretty dark decisions. Mm-hmm. I know, and I hate referencing, like, showrunner explanations, because I don't think they should have to explain anything behind the scenes. I think it should be shown in the story. But I know they have said regarding Felicity and the Helix storyline is that they want her to be in a position where she can understand some of the tough choices that Oliver's had to make in the past. Because season 4, their whole rift happened because, you know, he had to make some tough choices and lie. And, you know, he told Merlin about his son before he told Felicity about his son, you know, things like that. And that wasn't something she could trust or understand, rightfully so. And, they said they want her to go through sort of these sort of morally gray deals areas so she can understand it. But I miss her on Team Arrow. I do.
That is true. I will agree with you on that stuff for sure.
But I'm sure Helix will be villainous. In the comics, they don't necessarily fit the Arrow world in terms of what they are. They're not a techie organization or anything, but they are villainous, so they'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on to some of the other characters. So we've had some comments here about Lance in the mayor's office. What'd you think of that? Lance wanting to slam down Prometheus.
Well, man, did you see the look on his face when Chase walked in? I mean, there was such disgust on Lance's mm-hmm. face, but yet mm-hmm. yet he was powerless to do anything. But he just looked yeah. down on Chase like, you little bug. If I could step on you right now, I would. And
yeah,
yeah, such look of disgust. But I tell you that before Chase walks in, when they're, you know, he's checking up on Oliver, are you okay? And, you know, your cover story for, you know, for being away on a spiritual leave, that was great. And I've got a little clip here because it cracked me right up when he says this.
It turns out Councilwoman Pollard is a big fan of all that stuff, you know, the woo-woos and stuff.
The woo-woos. I love Lance for that. Yeah, I just love it for that because he doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know how to describe it or talk about it or share it. It's just the woo-woos, you know, all that stuff.
Great. This season has definitely been missing a lot of adult characters, and he's definitely stepped up to the plate on that recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to see his response to Prometheus. It's been interesting. You know, we saw Wild Dogs face off with Prometheus last week, you know, not in terms of like a fight, but just what Wild Dog thought of Prometheus. And then we see Lance this week. We've seen, you know, in one of our responses, we got somebody commenting on how it seems to be Felicity is developing a very strong grudge towards Prometheus. Oliver obviously wants Prometheus dead. It seems like everybody's sort of getting into this place where Prometheus feels like their personal villain as well. So that's been an interesting development. I really want to see Thea's response to Prometheus, but alas.
Yeah. And I do want to, I'm going to bring up something, because I feel like most of the squad probably went, finally. They did kind of have a saying goodbye to Susan in this episode. And
where's
I don't,
the cheers sound effect for this?
Yeah, I'll have to find some cheers or some applause. Thing is, like, and it's fine, but remember, I've been kind of trying to defend her position a little bit the last few times we talked about her.
I do remember that, yeah.
And I feel like this was actually a really nice scene, because when she comes in and she's like, Oliver, I heard you're back, and oh my god, you're okay, and they kind of have that embrace. Oliver was very happy to see her, and she was very concerned about him and the way he, I mean, yeah, he had to break things off with her, but that whole scene, those moments between the two of them, I felt really, really justified that they have developed feelings for each other. They do care about each other. And it made me forget in those moments that the way she came into this story with us, that she was this ruthless reporter, journalist, whatever, and trying her. Like, I've actually been able to let go of some of that stuff. And I could see in these moments that her and Oliver really did care about each other, and it was hard for him to do that. And I like that moment, and for him to be able to say goodbye that way, and her kind of be disappointed and walk off, I felt was just a nice way to write her off. If that's what this is, that was their way of getting rid of her, I thought it was a nice way to do it. And
I'm kind of with Christy, or I think it was Christy, it was somebody who sent an email response, who said they felt a little let down that at the end Susan was just like the nice girlfriend copyright symbol, you know, like it just it feels like, and I know that they didn't mean for that to be the case when they started writing her. I know they dropped the hints with the Russian vodka and the, you know, lack of journalistic ethics and her, you know, getting in Thea's face and, you know, picking fights and all this sort of, you know, like I know they meant for her to be more of a something. You know, we were meant to sort of not trust her. We were meant.
Maybe she still will.
Maybe. But she, I don't feel like I dislike her so much as I'm just sort of let down, like, oh, She was just a ruthless reporter who ended up being a nice girlfriend. Like, I don't know. I'm glad she's gone because that took up way too much screen time. I love romance as much as the next person, but that was just a drag. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I'm not like a Susan fan, but I did feel like she deserved a little bit of villainy or something in there to give her some backbone. But
yeah, I'm not a fan of her. I'm just saying it was, I'm just trying to defend that they did make the change and it kind of helped me forget how she started and just it was just a nice moment for Oliver to have that kind of connection with someone. I'm thinking of it from, you know, Oliver's my buddy. I want to make sure he's got all the good things in life, and he deserves a little bit of you know, emotional connection to a woman. Why not? So the other thing I wanted to ask you about the ending, because we kind of talked about it a little bit. You liked how the bad guy rode off into the moonlight with the weird music, but did you not feel it was, because I think we saw a bit of response to it, it still felt like a bit of an odd way to end
an episode. I think it was intentionally odd.
But, I mean, not just ending the episode, I'm meaning in the feeling that, what a way to end it before having a month hiatus.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because that's a weird way to end it and leave us feeling.
I don't know that they know that before they write it, do they? Do they know that they're writing into a hiatus at that point?
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, if they, because they have the date set for all the, yeah, I don't know, but still, I'm just, for us as viewers, didn't it feel weird that, what, that's how they're leaving us hanging for the month break? What the heck?
I saw a lot of comments at the time when I was watching it. I usually live tweet on Twitter and I see like everybody's reactions, and a lot of people were saying like they're just now picking up steam, they're just now giving us these like juicy controversial stories, and now it's like going into a hiatus for a month. It feels odd. I understand wanting a cliffhanger, of course, and in a sense they do give us that in that there's many unanswered questions, but I feel like they would need one or two more episodes of good content on our core characters before putting us into a hiatus so that we'd have a bit more to maybe speculate about. This was only a setup, really, and we don't really know what the fallout's going to be. So,
yeah. Well, I guess
it's not that I dislike the episode. It's just they should have started this level of being revved up a couple episodes earlier. There was a bit too much downtime in some of the episodes right after the mid-season premiere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess if we remember the moment of him asking the team for help, I guess that's a really nice moment to kind of end on and have something to look forward to when we come back. So, yeah. Well, should we get to some transmissions?
We should. Before we jump into transmissions, I just wanted to say I really am enjoying seeing everybody post their thoughts and feedback on the Arrow Squad Facebook page as well. I know we gave our Arrow Squad Twitter people a shout out at the beginning of this, so I just want to mention I love seeing you all live post on there, and then I love seeing at the end a lot of you post sort of like full-on paragraph or two of sort of your review of the episode. Love that. And if you ever want us to really full-on go through that on the show, you're welcome to email it in, send it in. We would love to go through those points. I don't want to get too invasive and bring all your Facebook stuff here on the podcast unless you absolutely want it. But
I think because it's on Facebook and everybody sees it, we've got, you know, hundreds of members in there, so I think everyone sees that on there, and they all reply to each other, and it's really great. It's fun to see that all in there. But I mean, just a few people like Karina, Angela, Yua, and Todd, they all, like you said, put in some very long, you know, paragraph, short story type response. And it's great to read all that stuff. I love to see you guys really responding, and good or bad, or you're sharing your feelings about the show. And that's great. I'm so happy to see that the show is still driving some emotion that people want to say something about it. So it's great. So, but yeah, definitely. Yes. I mean, you can easily turn all that into transmissions for us if you want us to talk on the show and kind of respond to it, because that's what we're here for.
Yeah, you guys got some great questions. We'd be happy to chat about them too, but let's get into our transmissions now. All right,
here we go. All right, who's our first transmission from?
Our first transmission this week is from I'm Just Here for Felicity, and she had a lot of great thoughts on this episode, so we'll just start off at the beginning. She says, Felicity could break any code Oliver set computer-wise in 5 seconds, so why do they need the Argus gear? That's Felicity's specialty. So if they're saying Oliver is smarter than Felicity with computers, what's the point? So she felt that was a bit unnecessary. She goes on to say, I guess it shows their skills with no gear, but it makes Felicity's abilities seem less, and I didn't like that. But in terms of Diggle's storyline, she says, I love John saying the team wasn't over just because Oliver said so. He might be the mascot, but he can't tell them what to do. And I do wish Diggle had said, I don't work for you, when Oliver told him to stand down. Because, again, he is his teammate, not his puppet master. Very good point. She says, Anatoly continues to be a great addition in the season. And also, every time they say Cord Industries, I want to see Blue Beetle guest star.
Well, you know what? On that point, I found out today, where did I hear it from? That we're never going to get a Blue Beetle on the TV show. I think they had said, maybe it was on Central City Underground. I think they had said that initially when they wrote Brandon Routh's character of Ray, that was supposed to be Ted Kord, Blue Beetle. But the DC movie people stepped in and said, no, you can't use Blue Beetle. We have plans for him. Can't use him. So they rewrote the part to be Adam instead. So that's why we're only going to get Cord Industry references. But I mean, it's still cool. Because I'm with something. You. I always freak. Oh, Blue Beetle, how fun would that be? But yeah.
She goes on with more questions. She says, what are the rules when it comes to glasses for Felicity? Because scenes like the break-in leave me confused on when she needs them and when she doesn't. Unless it's understood she's wearing contacts so she doesn't lose them. In which case, why not wear contacts all the time? Then she clarifies that is just a question of continuity, of course, as Felicity should always wear the glasses.
Yeah, well, maybe the glasses are a danger or a hazard when she's out in the field, so she puts in contacts. Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Another question she had, she says, I get Chase being smart, but how could he possibly know the second the phone rang it was about his cover being blown? For all he knew, they were discussing moving him. That was definitely one of the hand wave moments I had of the night. And she also comments, I know it's a separate company, but that was a very Deadpool type of ending for Chase. I completely agree.
Yeah.
She's the one who says she follows that with the statement that Susan's storyline ended with a bit of a bummer, that she was simply Oliver's girlfriend. No.
Well, I'm thinking back to her first point, the phone ringing. I think because they said he was under guard in protective custody, whatever. I think it was pretty high security and secret. And the fact that a phone was ringing is probably not supposed to happen. I don't understand the protocol of all those things, but I just have a feeling that somebody's cell phone isn't supposed to ring in an event like that, because it could give away location, could give away whatever type of information. So I think Chase is smart enough to realize, like, that's not supposed to happen. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, that seems like a giveaway. That makes sense. Next transmission we have is a voicemail from our own Green Butterfly.
And here she is.
Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky Green Butterfly. Okay, so I like this episode better than last week, but Prometheus really, really disturbs me. But I guess that means he's doing his job. He's just a really, really good bad guy. You can take the team out of the Arrow Cave, but that's not going to disband this team. I really respect their motivation to keep going, even though Oliver is really doubting the overall mission at this moment. That's a sign of a really good team, a group of people that will take up the mission for you while you are paralyzed by doubt. Curtis was adorable in this episode. He's so very literal. Suit up. Oh, I don't have a suit. Oh, I get it. Oh, he is so cute. I'm really enjoying him watching serve the team every week, even though he is the weakest in hand-to-hand combat. Still worried about Felicity and what she's going to have to pay for the information she's getting from Helix, and whether using Helix will ultimately compromise the secrecy surrounding Team Arrow. This episode gets 8 out of 10 hacked face scramblers. I gotta fly. I'm on overtime this weekend. There's Bratva in the city, which means extra patrols. And I have to follow Prometheus. Where is he going? Oh my god, I hope he doesn't find William. Happy Superhero Friday. Green Butterfly out.
Oh. Where was he going? Which direction was he going at the end there?
That's a good question. I don't remember.
Interesting. Yeah, he was headed somewhere, but I mean, there was the moon in the sky. Wasn't there kind of a cityscape in the background too?
There was, yeah. But I don't know that I recognized it as any of our recognizable cities. Like, it wasn't Central City or anything.
Yeah, interesting.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, I'm glad she enjoyed it a little bit more. I knew last week she was going to be quite sensitive to it, so I'm glad she enjoyed this week better.
Yep. That can happen. Every episode comes across a little bit differently. Some are a little bit more violent than others.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to say publicly a very personal thank you to Green Butterfly, because she sent me a private message over Facebook just to tell us how that she's really enjoying you and me and how our take on Arrow and our different energy and different, I guess, perspective on things or whatever. So she just said we're doing a good job, and she's glad that the show's in our hands and it's still here. So,
we are glad Green Butterfly is still here, protecting our city from above.
Yeah. All right, we got one more email from a Christy.
We did. So Christy came in. She says, I don't think this episode is quite as good as the last couple episodes we had. It's more of a setup to launch the final race into the finale. I agree.
She's with you.
Yeah. She says, I don't particularly enjoy watching stubborn Oliver pushing all his friends away. And I'm so glad Diggle didn't give up on Oliver. Everyone needs a best friend like Diggle. Wouldn't that be nice? She says, the final scene with Chase killing those poor agents and just calmly driving away saved the whole episode for me. Christy, you and I are on the same wavelength.
Oh, Christy, are you a villain in disguise we didn't know about?
Yes. Christy is my fellow super villainess. And she ends it with, I'm not sure how he knew what was going on, but that was just such a great villainous scene. I agree. Yes. Good points, Christy.
Yes, we already talked about that. Just, yeah, he is vile. There is something wrong with him.
Which means they're doing well with him as a fan,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. To have us talking like this about him, yeah, they're doing well. I know people were kind of complaining a little bit about the actor playing the role. A couple of people said this role seems to be a little too big for him. I don't mind him, because I think he's done well. Because remember, for the first half of the season, I was saying I really like this guy. He's so loyal to Oliver. He's a good friend to have. He's a good new character. And now he switched to this villain. Now we all hate him, and he's the way he is in the last couple episodes. How serious and you know, challenging and intense they've been. I think he's doing a fine job. I'm not sure what people are expecting more out of him. I think he's good.
Yeah. I'm enjoying the last couple episodes of Prometheus. I think they've definitely set him up pretty well, and I'm interested to see how they'll write him going forward. So as we mentioned, just as a closing point, we are on hiatus. By we, I mean Arrow, and thus tangentially Arrow Squad. We'll be on hiatus for almost a full month until April 26th. We will return with Dangerous Liaisons.
Yes, we will. So, one final question I want to ask you on the end here: do you think we're going to see Talia again?
Yes. I do, but that might be just wishful thinking.
Might be wishful thinking, but I don't know. I feel like she's not finished her story yet, because the last time we saw her, she left the jail cell that Oliver's being captive in, and she's like, you deal with him. I can't believe you. Like, she was quite ticked off, and that's the last we saw of her. So she's got to come around to check on Prometheus and what he's doing. She has to.
Yeah, I agree. I think she will pop up at some point in the last couple episodes.
Yeah, so cool. Well, I hope so. Well, our next episode is called Dangerous Liaisons. We don't know what that could mean, other than it might connect to him and the Bratva. I don't know. I'm not sure.
All the shady deals that are going on with all of the Team Arrow characters, right?
Yeah, so.
Well, some of them.
Well, guys, me and Cammy have not really discussed or figured out yet if we're going to try to come up with something to pass the time away over the next 4 weeks. We'll discuss that off air and see if the possibility of that. But if not, you guys have a safe and wonderful beginning to spring over the next 4 weeks, and we'll definitely be talking to you when the show comes back.
Oh, for sure. We will reemerge. We will be reborn.
All right. Well, until that time comes, or until you hear from us again, this is The Flash signing off.
And I'm Candy. Goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media at goldenspiralmedia.com.